It's been less than a week since Republicans unveiled their plan to overhaul the tax code. We've already heard some criticism that it's more helpful to the rich than the middle class, that it'll balloon the federal deficit. Joining us now with his view is former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, a Republican who is now CEO of Financial Services Roundtable, a lobbying group for the finance industry. Governor Pawlenty, welcome. And what do you think of the tax plan?
Well, so far, it's a blueprint with a lot of details to be filled in. But directionally, it seems to encourage and accomplish the goal of trying to reduce taxes, simplify the tax code with the overall goal of stimulating the economy. And in a country that's had sub 2% GDP growth, we need to do something to get this economy going, and this could be a key ingredient to that goal.
But it would also increase the deficit hugely, right? In the trillions.
Well, it depends. And Bob Corker, who's one of the key people on the federal budget, said he wouldn't vote for a tax bill that adds one penny to the national debt going forward. So we'll see. This has in a gross sense, and I don't mean that as an ugly, I mean that as an overall effect, $5 trillion or so of impact. But when you net out the so-called pay-fors, which is all kind of gobbledygook speak, it could have a trillion to a $2 trillion negative impact on the debt going forward, and that would be concerning. And then also there's a chapter two, which is they're going to talk about adding some things that would help reduce or eliminate that impact on the deficit. So there's a lot of road yet ahead of us.
But there were claims during the Bush years that the Bush tax cuts would pay for themselves, and they didn't.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And so the question is going to be, what did we learn from that in terms of who was right, who was wrong, what methodology was accurate or not? And again, for your listeners who don't follow all this inside baseball, there's something called the Congressional Budget Office, or the CBO, which has historically been the official scorekeeper. And they will project whether there is or isn't an impact on the debt and deficit. And then the question for Republicans in particular, since they control the Congress, will be, do you believe and are you willing to rely on that score? Or are you going to say it's inaccurate and we're going to adopt a different methodology? And that's where there's going to be a real fork in the road in this debate. And it's too early to tell yet what the CBO is going to say.
What about the argument that has been made so far by opponents of this tax plan that it is not for the middle class, that it is just going to be another big tax cut for the wealthy, whether you look at what it's doing to the corporate tax or what it's doing to the tax brackets?
Again, that would be concerning, but if you take the administration and the Congress at their word in terms of when they fill in the details and all the other meat that's to come on the bones, what they're saying is we have a number of goals in mind. First goal is let's get the economy moving above the anemic rate that it's growing currently and has been for years. So that's goal number one. Goal number two, let's get rates down so that they're internationally competitive, particularly for businesses. And number three, let's make sure that the impact of all of this is not skewed towards the rich. Let's make sure that the net benefit, or the largest benefit proportionally, is on the middle class. And there's a lot of early criticism of this blueprint saying, well, it's too skewed towards the wealthy. But again, this is just a blueprint, and we're going to have to see it in total before you can reach that final conclusion. But I think having a disproportionate benefit to the middle class is an important goal, and one that the administration has said and the Congress has said is important to them as well. So the proof will be in the pudding.
Well, one issue that's been brought up is the lower tax rate for so-called pass-through businesses. Republicans say this will benefit small businesses, but critics have called it a backdoor way to cut taxes for giant corporations that might be classified as partnerships or sole proprietorships. What do you think about that cut down to 25% for pass-through businesses?
Again, for your listeners who may not follow all the details of this, there's different types of companies in terms of their legal form. One type is called a C corporation, which is usually the publicly traded large companies. And for that, they're saying we're going to take the sticker price of taxation from 35% now down to 20%. But the vast majority of American businesses are not those C corps. They are partnerships, they're limited liability companies, or so-called pass-through entities. And so they pay their taxes usually on their individual returns. The proceeds of their stake in their businesses gets carried forward and passed through. That's why they call them pass-throughs on their individual returns. And individual rates, of course, can go as high as 39%. And if you add the Obamacare taxes, it can be into the 40s. So people are, I think, correctly and fairly saying, well, if you're going to reduce the rates for those big C-corps, you should also reduce them for the pass-throughs so we don't have this big delta between those two types of corporations. So again, that's a long-winded answer, but you can't just say we're going to reduce corporate rates for one type of business and not for others. And you got to do it across the board, or at least proportionately across the board.
But in the end, if you're doing it across the board, you're going to have a lot less money coming into the federal coffers, aren't you?
Well, what you have now, of course, is the highest, the U.S. having one of the highest tax rates in the developed world at 35% for C-Corps. And you have a bunch of companies doing all kinds of gimmicks and tricks, all call including inversions, pushing businesses and revenues and investments to foreign countries because they don't think the American tax rate is welcoming or competitive. So you have to modernize the tax code to make it competitive. Otherwise, we're going to continue to lose business revenues to foreign companies, or countries, I should say.
What is the case to be made for eliminating the estate tax? Why should it be a priority in this tax plan to give a break to people inheriting, in some cases, multimillion dollar estates from their wealthy parents?
Well, it is essentially eliminated already for much of America because there's an exemption. I forget the exact amount, but let's say it's $5 million hypothetically. And for most Americans, when they die, they don't have $5 million of assets, so there is no estate tax. But for people who have large estates, there's a big estate tax. And then many states, including my own of Minnesota, has an additional estate tax. I think the argument is you shouldn't have to pay a death tax when you've already paid taxes along the way on the money you've earned, on the investments you've made and the returns that they've produced. You've paid through your whole life taxes on all that stuff. So why should you have to pay again a special tax just because you died?
Hmm. But aren't you worried that all of this cutting taxes, yes, maybe it does lead to more economic growth, but it also could lead to more income inequality in this country. And we know that's such a big problem right now.
There's a huge concern around income inequality, and of course there's correlations between your income and a variety of things, not just taxes, but education levels, for example. As to taxes, we have a tax rate in this country that has the top individual rate at nearly 40%, and then you add to that the state and local tax burdens. If you're in a high-tax state like Minnesota, it's another 10%, so that gets you to 50%, and if you add on the local and sales tax and also the Obamacare taxes, again, at a gross macro level, you can get above 50% taxation rates.
Which is historically low, though, you must admit. I mean, it was much higher decades ago.
It was higher. In the Reagan era, it was 75 or 80% marginal rates, and then they reduced it to something much lower. But again, you got to keep in mind with all this stuff, it's not just the sticker price. You got to look at the effective rate or the net rate after all these special deductions, credits, exemptions, and the like are factored in. And that's a big part of tax reform is simplification. So we want to not only lower rates, but also clean up the tax code so that, you know, there isn't all these little special deals or loopholes or, you know, preferences for individual industries or individual types of behaviors, because then basically have politicians favoring one group over another using the tax code as their a way to bestow these favors. And that's why a lot of Republicans, including me, think a lot of that is crony capitalism or politicians bestowing favors on certain groups. And we'd like to get the tax code lower rates, but limit or reduce the number of those special privileges.
Do you expect that the final tax plan from the Republicans is going to include an increase in taxes for the top earners? Because it sounds like President Trump has left the door open to that potentially.
It doesn't sound like it. I know the presidents maybe and others have suggested that, but I think more recently, in recent weeks, that has been, you know, not something that's been on the table or discussed and doesn't look like it's going forward.
Do you think that it is likely that this will actually pass in the end? Because you would have thought that the Obamacare repeal and replace would have passed by now, but it didn't.
I think this will pass for a number of reasons. One is it's important to do. We've got to do some things to get the economy moving, as we discussed before. Number two, we do have a tax code that's out of date and not competitive as benchmarked against other developed countries in the world, particularly as it relates to business taxes. Three, middle-income America needs some more money in their pockets, obviously, and so middle-income tax relief would be a terrific outcome as well. So there's meritorious reasons to do this, and it should get done. But then also politically, it's an imperative. If you're a Republican and you've run around this country for 10 years telling supporters and donors and others, we're going to for sure reform and improve and modernize and our tax code, including reducing it, and they don't do it, particularly on the heels of the failure of Obamacare, they will have heck to pay within their own party, much less the broader public, when they go into the 2018 election. So I think for all of those reasons, they're going to do it, and I'm confident that they'll get something done.
That's Tim Pawlenty, the former governor of Minnesota, now CEO of Financial Services Roundtable. Governor Pawlenty, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.